Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello and welcome to episode 110 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my compatriot, my buddy, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hi, Kyle. Hi, Adam.
Are you awake for the show?
I'm tired this morning.
Are you?
And I've got, my voice is kind of weak. It had to go easy on me today. Last night at band practice, I was trying out some new singing techniques, and I really kind of strained myself.
Wow, that's not good. Did you not? Come on. What's more important, the band and band practice or this show? Better answer properly. Whoa. Hey, clearly mistakes were made.
They were. I didn't even got to experiment sometimes.
Are you doing are you adding like death metal to your repertoire? Like screaming?
Like not even that intense.
Okay.
But some things that just, I don't know, like just adding a little bit of like intensity to some of the pieces that I think it would just like make more sense or be more appropriate for the song.
But you got to be careful because it takes energy and it takes, it can strain your chords.
It really can. Yeah. And there are techniques that like professional singers will use who like that's something that they have to do in their set. But I don't know those techniques.
Obviously.
Yeah.
What else is going on besides you're feeling a little slow, sluggish and weak in the voice this morning?
Also yesterday, I had a long conversation with a life coach who's a personal friend who does this professionally, but like offered generously to do a session with me and like help me understand a little more or like figure out a little more about my purpose in life and my personal mission statement and like really big stuff like this. And I find those kinds of things to be uncomfortable but really rewarding in the end.
Aren't they
like I've been
also,
thinking about it since.
Aren't they also like overwhelming?
Yeah, absolutely. Trying to step out of yourself and look at your life and talents and a purpose a little more objectively, like as best you can, which isn't even that good.
Right. And as you get older, I mean, I'll tell you this from experience, you know, you have a child as a part of that life plan, your wife, you know, it's different. It entirely shifts once those two things come into play. It's not just you.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner you know that, the better.
Yeah. Hey, I never thought of that.
Yeah, I've considered doing some coaching. I mean, receiving some coaching. Actually, let me rephrase. I've had coaching back in the South Bay. I guess it was like at least 6 or 8 weeks with a friend of mine. Her name's Micah. She does some coaching. And she offered, because she was trying to start a new program, so she offered, she gave it to me for free. We met weekly or every other week, I think. It was interesting.
It is. Yeah, I don't think we can do too much self-reflection and really explore these things. There's a lot to unpack.
Did you tell Ashley about this?
No.
Are you going to?
I don't know. It just hasn't come up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was one of those, yesterday.
Yeah. It's one of those things that, you know, I would like to do more of, as well as I think sometimes, you know, you need coaching in marriages, you need coaching in sports, all the things that we do in business. Right. But sometimes we forget that that has extreme amounts of value, not just today, but long term. But it's also nice to have a partner on board with you on that.
Yeah, I think that's true. Most of us are not appreciating the value of a coach in a lot of contexts in our life. There are some cases where we're like, oh, duh, you need a coach for that.
Right.
But so many others, which are vastly more important, the stakes are way higher than they are for the Little League T-ball team.
Absolutely.
The stakes are way higher. And yet it never occurs to us that maybe we could bring in like an experienced third party who could be a little more objective.
Yeah.
And give us some advice.
Yeah.
I think almost all of us should do that more.
Interesting. Cool. So
yeah. Unsolicited advice from Kyle today. How are you, Adam? What's up with you?
I'm all right. I'm just dealing with, you know, two or three things that are, again, not earth shattering. But first of all, you know, one of my children, I won't say any names, but one who lives in this house, not in college and does not have a job. Clearly lacking in some frontal lobe youth development. It was 22 degrees here a day or two ago. It still is. It's been super cold in the mornings. And he's under the weather a little bit. And I was up in the morning working here at the home office, and he's on his way to the bus, and he's wearing shorts. I'm like, dude,
Kids are too funny.
I sent him back upstairs to put on a pair of pants or sweats. I'm like, you know, just, you can't, you know, you just can't do that. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be a part of that.
Good job, Dad.
Thanks. Yeah. The other thing is, I use a CRM, and my CRM right now is failing me. I like the company a lot. They're great in support, but my email sync is not working. So like emails show up in my normal inbox on my app, but it's not syncing over to the service that I want it for. Cause I use that CRM to then track when I email clients and projects. I think it's attached and I can see when people click links, not syncing properly. A total first world problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you're a clever man and you'll probably figure it out.
Maybe. And then lastly, as I mentioned to you, I just wanted to shout out. So thank somebody. I had a surprise birthday present delivered to me last week.
No way. Well, you're popular and stuff. I'm sure that happens.
All I have
year.
To say is challenge accepted.
Oh.
For the future of this show, there might be some more musical gifts, I say in air quotes, given. So thank you, Kyle, for the guitar.
You're welcome, buddy. Yeah.
Very
use it wisely.
Very, very surprising. Ellen's like, why do you send you a guitar? I go,
it will change your life.
Yeah. I have to tune it. I need to tune it. I need to start. I'm gonna put it on my calendar. And I'm gonna start relearning to play some chords and some stuff. And I have a couple songs in mind that I want to figure out how to play. So yeah.
That's going to be great. Yeah, the show needs, like, I've been lacking in inspiration and time recently. So I don't know if loyal listeners of the show have been a little saddened by the lack of music.
They have been.
Have they?
Sure. Sure.
Okay. Because I haven't written a song for this show in quite a while.
Quite a while, yeah. Actually, but there might be something special today.
What?
No, maybe not. So.
Yeah. Don't get my hopes up.
Okay.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
All right, only one thing in the news at the moment. Go for it.
Advanced Custom Fields changed their pricing. You know, a lot of people were talking about this. It's one of those situations where Advanced Custom Fields, old business, old plugin, but still vibrant, very, very popular, has not diminished over the years.
Right.
Huge part of the WordPress ecosystem.
Yeah, I have it. I own it, actually.
There are a lot of people who just swear by Advanced Custom Fields.
Yeah. I know. Steve Zangit back in California, he does. Like, every site was done in ACF. I got into it a little bit. I use it from time to time. I own it. I bought the pro version like a year ago. And news flash here, if you are grandfathered in, there'll be no fee upgrade. If you buy it as of now, there's going to be an annual fee. So
yeah. Yeah. But a lot of us, like, in the more professional community in WordPress have been like, yeah, duh.
Finally. Yeah.
This is obvious. Their pricing model was like the same for so long, and it was so low.
Right.
And he has a beautiful chart, which just for anybody who ever brings up the question of like lifetime licenses and those models, which were more popular in the early days of commercial WordPress, this chart just like truly exemplifies the problem, because sales grow very slowly or plateau, but the size of the customer base continues to increase, and eventually the business breaks down.
Right.
And it's amazing that a business like Advanced Custom Fields has been able to go this long without adopting a more modern, scalable pricing model.
Right.
And I think it's just good for those of us in the community to praise and congratulate people when they make smart business decisions. This is a good thing, and often businesses can get just inundated with like just the negative feedback from customers, the ones paying the price.
Right.
Like, I'm not paying this price. I'm not buying it. I'm just saying, hey, kudos to you, man. You raised your prices. Way to go.
Right.
But I think it's good for us to do that and make people feel supported. And I don't know. Probably there won't be any backlash for this because it's just so.
No, I don't see it at all. I see it as a total positive. I know, you know, I really do. I still recommend it. I still think people should use it. And matter of fact, I mean, I was telling somebody recently that I have a flinch factor. You know, if I can solve a problem with a plugin or a service or a tool for less than $200 and it solves a problem immediately, I just do it. I don't really give it much thought. Most recently, we're building out a, you know, backup speaker. It's not as close as I thought. Anyway. Apparently, my developer on this had a little hiccup with pods and something else for MemberPress and stuff. We need the pro version of a plugin. It's a $30 fix. Done. It's like
done.
$30, and we move on with the problem. The problem goes away.
done. Yeah.
It's just, you know, exactly. Issue with meta fields and stuff. All right. So cool. Congratulations to them. That's right. Yep. Yeah.
That's great.
What you wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now. What you wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now.
So I will start. I am wearing a WP Engine shirt. I got this at WordCamp US. It's not the quote US 2019 shirt. It's just a shirt I got at US. Actually, you know what? I don't know. Did I get this at US? I might not. I might have actually gotten this shirt at All Things Open. So I got this at ATO.
I was going to say, I've never seen that one.
I just got it. It was still in the plastic bag when I pulled it on this morning. So, yeah. And I'm drinking coffee in a WordPress, in a WordCamp OC 2014 mug. And I'm reading a new book. I got a whole bunch of new books this week at the library. Valley of Genius, The Uncensored History of Silicon Valley as Told by Hackers, Founders, and the Freaks Who Made It Boom. Yeah, the book's interesting. I thought it was going to be a little different. It's segmented into chapters, I think, but then inside of it is paragraphs about the people within that chapter.
Yeah.
It's interesting. So, yeah.
That does sound crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you got?
I'll probably enjoy that. I'm wearing a limited edition Apply Filters t-shirt. Mm-hmm. This is special. They're hard to get now these days. And a limited edition WordCamp Ann Arbor 2017 hoodie. And a limited edition GoDaddy hat. And limited edition MongoDB socks, which you actually left here when you visited. So I guess I was going to give them back to you, but I forgot when I saw you. And so I guess I'm just going to keep them.
Let me see them real quick. Put them up on the camera there. I want to see what those look like.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I was wondering where those went. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, now you know.
What are you drinking?
Oh, sorry. Coffee, and I'm reading Traction.
You know, it's funny. Who just did their thesis on Traction is Adam, young Adam, Scott DeLuzio's son. He just finished grad school. He did a whole. He finished high school, college, grad school, and he's doing his thesis now on Traction.
That's cute, adorable. The truth is,
yeah.
When I've been sitting down to read, I've actually been reading Rick Steves' Ireland.
Oh.
Because we are doing some research to plan our itinerary for our March trip to Ireland.
That's all
and
right.
I've been picking that up.
I just like
instead.
To pick on you from time to time and in your pace of reading. That's all. Out of love, my brother.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
Hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
Time for me to leave before I give any bad advice. Or make anyone serving clients feel bad about their life choices. So you can take it from here, buddy.
Okay, well, come with this instead. That's right. It's questions time. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Options, 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 options. Be there. Okay. Question one. Why don't you ask this first one, and I'll start the answer.
How do I transition into full-time freelancing? This comes from Michelle Ames.
Michelle. Dear Michelle. Let's actually reverse the question, shall we? How does one not transition into freelancing?
What?
Let's say start off with taking out huge loans to attend university, land that what you, quote, think is a dream job, get a few raises in the initial few years, get trapped into the lifestyle, lease a car, buy a larger condo or a home that you need to then furnish with the expensive furniture from the entire catalog of, I don't know, West Elm. Or maybe you do none of that. And you take a page from the wise one. The question should really be then once again reversed into the translation into future film freelancing. How do I?
What?
That's of course it's Yoda. There is no transition. There is only do or do not.
Oh. Wow.
That's my first option. That's my first option. That's option one.
I need time to process this. It sounds so.
There is no. It's just you just do it or you don't.
I guess maybe you get fired from your real job.
That was
really
I need like an explosion, really like a, I need like the old sound effect on that.
That was really mean, and I apologize. I shouldn't have even said that.
No, that's kind of good. I like it. Do you have any other options?
Most people make this transition halfway through their first project. Let me give you an example story about how this happens.
Okay.
All right. here's what happens. This is the typical story. And a lot of people listening to the show are going to be nodding their heads saying, oh my goodness, that's what happened to me. All right. So here's where it starts. You don't know anything about making websites, but one day you get asked to help with one at work for some reason. When you get home from work, you find out the fridge stopped working and you'll need to get a new one. Aww. Then while you're home, you're raking leaves out in your yard and you notice people walking or driving by giving you extra glances, almost as though there's something different about you. Then your neighbor, whom you haven't talked to in 8 months, casually strolls over and starts a conversation. At some point, they ask if you know anyone who knows about websites. You chuckle and say, what a coincidence. You just started learning about them. Quickly, they bounce and ask if they can pay you to build theirs. Your mind goes immediately to that new fridge you're going to need to buy. And in spite of you having almost no experience, you agree. $250 should be enough.
Oh, totally.
You get started on the site and hey, it's kind of fun. You're using WordPress and are amazed by all the features. Then you discover the plugin directory. And it's like the whole world opens up to you. You're overwhelmed by the power and flexibility of this platform and begin imagining the possibilities of what you could accomplish with it. The next day, you start talking about websites with everyone you encounter. Your mechanic, your refrigerator salesperson, your barista, your uncle. You can't believe it, but every one of them also needs a website. And you start talking about money. The next day, you quit your job and start building websites for a living.
Wow.
That's how it goes for everybody.
Wow. That's just like off the top of your head, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the story. It's the classic story.
Well, you know, I have another option, you know, and that other option really is, it's like this. It's all about doing the hustle. That's right. Do you know the song? You're way too young. What? Your dad's going to know the song.
Really?
It's a hustle. Yeah, it's like, you know, you do the side. In this case, it's the side hustle. Now, depending on where you are in life, family, kids, dogs, cats, caffeine habits, debt load, etc., you do something like you just said. You transition, or you go from full time to quit, and you know, cancel the music there. You do the what I call the side hustle. You get something going on the side of what you're currently doing to then really take a look at where this is going to go. Can you take the time? You know, at one point, there's a financial decision to make. Can you just leave? You know, you have to balance those things out. So the answer is, I don't know. There's not one specific answer. It comes down to place in life, situation at hand, pursuit, happiness. It's a huge Venn diagram with a very small target in the middle, overlapping area. So that's how you make that transition.
Yeah. I've heard it said that my generation is the generation of the side hustle.
What generation are you technically? Are you?
I would technically be a millennial, I guess. Maybe early in that generation. Although I hate these generations. I find them to be very stupid. And classifying people in that way, I find
you're technically
never constructive.
I'm looking at a graphic right now. So you're born in. So you're Y. You're generation Y. Yeah.
What?
So yeah. So it's baby boomers, Gen X, Gen Y, Gen Z. So you're I think the Y is also AKA millennial.
Right. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I find those generational labels to almost never be constructive. You're more often destructive.
Okay. Real quick trivia question: what's the generation before boomers? Do you know the name of it? What the nickname was?
That is. Is that either the greatest generation or the silent generation?
You're close. It's one of the lost generation.
Oh, the lost generation?
I think so.
Oh,
yeah.
That was the one for the boomer. I thought it was the
before boomers.
Which one's the greatest generation or the golden generation or something like that?
I think people sometimes go the lost and greatest are before boomers.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, interesting.
Right.
Well, I think, anyway. I mean, do you have any other options? I mean, the options I think we've covered them pretty well. honestly, it's one of those things that I can give a case in point example, like how I did it. I transitioned into, I went to full-time freelancing. And then here's the problem, Kyle. And here's the thing for Michelle. What's the definition, what's the terminology difference between full-time freelancing versus being a entrepreneur or a solopreneur, you know, your own thing? You know, what's that difference between running the agency? Like, I don't know, how do you define that?
I think there isn't one.
Okay. Well, it's very loose and very gray, because I consider myself not a freelancer because I have clients and I have people that kind of work for me. All the people who do work for me are contractors, and they are specifically contractors because they can say no to the work I ask them to do, literally. Yeah. You know, they dictate when they're available to me versus they're not full-time employees, right? Even though if they were a full-time employee, they could quit, they can call and say, you know, there's those differences too, but it's a different setup, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't consider my. Do you consider me a freelancer?
No, you're running a business.
Right.
But what I say is, once you go full time, you are running a business.
Right.
This is a company. It could be a company of one, but it's an actual business.
Right. And I don't like the term freelancer technically, because there's nothing free about what I do. I'm sorry. I think the term is, it's a misnomer.
Yeah.
You know. So,
a little bit.
Yeah,
it's a bit weird, and the way, and people use these to identify with whatever they want to be.
Right, and I think a lot of people use that freelancer as I pick and choose the jobs I want to do, when I want to do them, where I want to do them, how, and that's fine. I don't consider myself a freelancer. I consider myself a business owner.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
Right. But I left. I left the auction company as a freelancer because I was doing couple things here and there. I thought I was going to be more of a freelancer, and that changed completely, pretty quickly.
Yeah,
and it had to for me. So
there's something that I think is important for a lot of business owners, because when you get serious about this, like you're going to do this to win your bread. This is not talked about as much in this context, but it is in others. If you talk about, if you're in like the product space or the SaaS space, like I've had some experience there, so I can compare all of these. Over there, there's a heavy emphasis on validation. You have an idea. The prevailing advice, like the wisdom of everyone, the collective wisdom that will be shared with you is that validation is critical and your top priority. It's all about validation. Mm-hmm. You have an idea. You think that this will work. You think you will make money. You have to validate it. You have to prove that this will work and do whatever it takes to get validation. Now, this is never talked about in the in more like of the consulting freelancing context, but it always is over in the product context,
right?
Or at least,
yeah, I know what you mean.
Mostly is,
yeah.
I think it should be talked about more in like all business contexts. You have an idea. I think that me, this person with some talents and some interests and knowledge, can start a business which can replace the income that I had doing whatever I had before. This is my assertion. Mm-hmm. I believe that I can do that. I can earn enough to make a living to justify to myself and my family doing this instead of other things. Mm-hmm. That is what you assert, and you need to prove that it's true.
Right.
And that is called validation. And that isn't something that you give yourself a quarter of your career to do.
Right, right.
You as a wise business owner make a plan and say, I am going to validate this by such and such a time. And what is validation? Like, if I can get to a certain monthly or yearly or quarterly income, whatever matters to you, like I can close the $15,000 project every quarter, or I can be making $5,000 in recurring every month after 2 years of running this business or some milestones like this, or I can get to whatever the equivalent salary take home would be to the job that I left to start doing this by the end of 2 years or 1 year. It depends on like what you can manage.
What your runway is, like savings wise or
And you have to be a grown up about this. And appreciate that, like
you said, the G
that's
word.
A real milestone.
Growing up.
Like I think a smart business owner is really practical about this. And you say, like, if I'm 20% above that goal, then here's what's going to happen. I'm going to maybe look to hire an employee.
Right.
You know, if I'm 20% below that goal by this specific milestone, I will officially consider this like not validated and not proven. And agree with myself and maybe with my family, commit to like seeking a different opportunity in my career because I couldn't prove that this would work.
Right.
And that happens all the time. More people fail than succeed at this stuff. So don't get down on yourself for it not working.
So that said, my resume is out there. No, I'm joking. Kidding. All right.
Yeah.
Cool. No, I think it's a valid point. You made some awesome points.
Yeah.
All right. Question two. Let me ask this one. That's a sentence by Alex G. How many cups of coffee are required per client per day?
Ooh,
that sounds like math. That's like that's a math problem.
That's tough. I don't know. I guess we can only share our own experiences.
Well, I have two options without going into too much math. Easy math: bottomless pot of coffee. Just keep it going all day, 24/7. And that used to be me. I used to drink a lot of coffee.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Oh, yeah. Now, option two for me, it's an easy math problem for me. 1 to 1.5 cups a day, tops two. And I don't drink coffee past 12 noon because two reasons. One, trust me, you don't want me more caffeinated than I already am, for one. Mm-hmm. For two, as I've gotten a little older and I just know my sleep schedule, my patterns, I try to keep consistency. I like to have no caffeine in me, in theory, 10 hours after consumption. So I go to bed 10 o'clock on average. I just don't drink caffeine past noon. I don't drink soda at all. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It probably wouldn't be coffee for me. Like, I guess that if I put myself in the spirit of the question.
Yeah.
clients, I need another drink. Okay. It probably wouldn't be coffee that I would reach for.
Yeah.
Clients don't make me sleepy.
You're right. If we need
something else to like chill me out.
I didn't think about
like,
that.
It's okay.
Yeah, if I went into the category of that, I didn't think about that for a second. You're right. Better approach. So how many beverages per required per day? Ooh, I'm gonna go with at least a 6-pack. by lunch or at lunch. Or two martini lunch. It's hard to say.
Not all clients are the same.
Right.
I had clients that like I would be drinking the beer with and enjoying my time. Like they were great clients, and I had other clients that made me think like, man, if I have another like this, I'm never gonna do it again.
I almost shut down my business a year and a half ago because of a client situation, and so I can see a client sending me to rehab.
Yeah,
I shouldn't joke about that, but it's. I understand now better as you explain, as you reworded it in my mind, not just cups of coffee. It could be anything, right? So, you're right. My clients don't make me sleepy. They make me they can stress me, not sleep me. You know? Yeah. So,
right.
Still an awesome question. So.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. Thanks, Alex, for sharing that with us.
Yep. Cool. All right. Moving on. We have a segment. What's the segment? Mm-hmm. You want to introduce, start this one?
We're going to do a little segment called Do and Q.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Every so often, we offer you, the listener, a list of some of the things that we think you should and Q add to your watch or read or listen list, because we've checked them out. We've validated them. We researched them. We determined that they are of high quality and worthy of your ears and eyes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So I only have, you want to start? Mine's short, just so you know.
Mine's pretty short too, compared to our usual lists.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'll start with a few podcasts. First, I have listened to a few episodes of a rather amusing podcast called Beach Too Sandy, Water Too Wet. And it's hosted by a couple funny people who they read in a dramatic fashion reviews online of actual places, you know, like restaurants or theme parks. So they read Google reviews and Yelp reviews and like primarily one star reviews. And it's a very funny show. I got quite a kick out of it. The Get Rich Nick podcast is also rather fun. This is hosted by a couple of comedians who challenge themselves with attempting every get rich quick scheme and tackle a new one each episode. So they talk about the premise for a little while in the show, then they go out and actually try and do it. A few that I listened to included like some kind of get rich quick like shopping apps or street performing and generally some other things that there are claims out there that you can make money doing, and they try it out and it's pretty amusing and eye-opening at times, because if there's one thing that the internet has a whole lot of, it's ideas on how you can make money.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of ridiculous. I always joke that the best way to make money online is to
tell people how to make money online.
teach people how to make money online. From the creators of Radiolab, Dolly Parton's America podcast is still coming out. It's a series of like 9 parts, and maybe like the first 4 or 5 or so have been to come out. And it's so good. It's outstanding.
Interesting.
I really get into some of these shows where like I'm a little surprised by the premise, like Missing Richard Simmons and stuff like that. Like that was huge. You got to give it a chance. Mm-hmm. Anyway, those are the podcasts I think. Cool. I have.
Yeah, actually, mine are heavy podcasts. I have 4 new podcasts I've been looking into in one show. The podcasts I've been taking a gander at or listen to is the first one, The Admin Bar. It's live roundtables with developers and designers.
Oh, yeah, that's WordPress specific, isn't it?
I don't think it is, technically. No.
Really?
I don't think so. I'm just just about design and dev.
Mm. Yeah. Oh, okay.
So it's from Gimlet, and Adobe is like the sponsor behind it. So.
Oh, dang. Yeah. Okay.
The other one is Code Pen Radio. It's Chris Collier, Alex Vasquez, Tim Sabat. They talk about the ins and outs of running their software businesses, respectively. I've listened to a handful of these, not every single one, but I know Chris from CSS Tricks, and I met him in person. This was cool. 3 weeks ago at the ATO, the All Things Open conference, and he knew who I was because of the WordPress stuff, you know, and the podcast. I was like, I totally fanboyed. I'm like, hey. He's like, hey. Another one with Chris actually is called Shop Talk. It's another podcast about front end and web developers and UX. I just recently, I was just thinking, you know what? I'm just so focused. And the reason I switched to these is I was all focused on the business and the growth, like you were saying, you know. So I kind of started looking into some other stuff. So, and then Wireframe, another new one I've been listening to. It's the story is about user experience design for UX and UI designers, graphic designers, and the Design Curious is their slag show title there. So the Admin Bar, Code Pen Radio, Shop Talk, Wireframe. Those 4 are new in my playlist lately. And, you know, they don't all match exactly. You kind of have to listen to 3, 4, 5, 7, 10 minutes of these shows to see if it's something you want to continue. Some are shorter than others, some 29, 30 minutes, some are an hour, you know, it just depends. So,
yeah. I've been listening to Shop Talk Show for years.
Yeah. And I thought you'd mentioned that way back when, I think at one point. Yeah. So pretty interesting. I did one of the episodes on one of those, I think it was Shop Talk. It was really deep about like Gatsby or Headless, and it was over my head, but it was interesting. It reminds me of, was it Apply Filters?
Yeah.
Like that level, but still just interesting to hear people's passion, honestly, about the tech that I am so unfamiliar with. That inspires me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Heck yeah, man.
So it's not what I do now, but you never know. It could be something I do in the future. I don't know. I just feel like it's interesting to me. So, and then the other new show I've been watching I watched the whole series was The Boys. It's on Amazon Prime. It's like superhero based. I don't want to give anything away. It's fascinating. 8 episodes. What was kicker to me or killer to me was my wife watched it first, and it's violent and has language, and she watched it. Somehow she fell into it.
Oh, wow.
And then she told me about it. I'm like, ah. And then my other friend, actually new Kyle, your old Kyle, new Kyle is a big superhero TV Marvel person. We were having lunch together. He does one of my contract guys. He told me about it, and I'm like, oh, so sad. I didn't just take my wife's advice on this one. She'll never hear this episode. I took New Kyle's advice to watch it. So yeah, nice. I watched all those. So that's in my queue lately. So
that's good. Yeah. Did you watch The Mandalorian?
I did not. I don't have Disney Plus.
Oh, okay. I didn't watch it either, but we'll probably sign up. I really want to see it.
I don't know what it's about. I'm not a huge Star Wars.
Oh, that's right.
I'm not in that realm, even though I quoted earlier, you know.
That's fine. That's fine. All right, we can move on.
I mean, I don't know. Is it worth? Do I need to know anything before watching it, or is it its own entity?
I don't actually know.
Okay.
But
let me know.
It probably wouldn't hurt for you to understand some context, I guess.
I know who Luke's father was. Does that count?
I'm not sure that's enough. And do you really? Do you?
Yeah. Let's real quick. You've seen every Star Wars movie, correct?
No, oh. I never saw the Solo movie yet. I just haven't got to it.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen Solo. Yeah, so I've, you know, for example, you've seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Many times.
Okay. See, for me, I saw 4, 5, 6 a handful of times. Those were my 1, 2, 3. I saw 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, uh-huh. Missed 3. And then I saw the one with the girl.
That's really sad that you can put it that way. That's terrible.
Okay.
And also,
Rogue One. I saw Rogue One.
Yeah.
I have not seen Solo. I'm just looking at the list real quick. I've seen that. Yeah. Oh, never. I guess I've just really only missed. The only thing I've really missed, I guess, is number 3 and Solo at the moment.
That's fine. That's
okay.
Fine.
Yeah. I thought I had done worse on this number. It's not so bad.
Sure. It's terrible. Shame on you.
Yeah. And, Rogue One, yeah.
And as for what I think you should NQ
okay.
on Spotify.
Ooh, yeah.
A couple artists that I've been playing a lot. One called With Either, and you can look them up on YouTube and Spotify. They have really good videos. It's a couple guitar guys, acoustic guitar guys. You should listen to them, Adam. Maybe they'll inspire you.
Okay.
So With Either, that's E-T-H-E-R, on YouTube and Spotify. Their stuff is great. And very creative. And also a band called Meepso, M-I-P-S-O. I enjoy them a lot. They've got some pretty good singles. And also on YouTube, I always like Tiny Desk Concerts.
Mm-hmm.
There's tons of really good ones. I've watched a lot of like really popular ones I enjoyed, like Dave Matthews and mm-hmm. Steve Martin and Nickel Creek. I always liked John Riley was pretty recent, and I thought that was very good. And Taylor Swift was really good. And also on YouTube, there's a commercial for Wyze Plugs. Wyze makes like smart home stuff.
Yeah, I'm the one who told you about this stuff. I think
maybe
I have the camera.
Maybe,
remember?
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, they made smart plugs, and they made a commercial for their smart plugs, and I thought it was a hilarious commercial.
I think I've seen that. Yeah.
I'm not often bringing up commercials,
right,
but
right.
Theirs was a hoot.
We should transition into full-time audio commercial jingle production. See, it's
that's a good idea.
I think it's full circle. I think we just wrapped up the show.
Okay, sure.
Do you have any more on your queue, though? I'm curious. Any more music?
I watched the Dave Chappelle and Aziz Ansari specials on Netflix, and I chuckled heartily.
Cool, Leo. All right,
yeah, that's it.
Yeah, good stuff. I'm gonna check out the music. I really am. I've been it's funny you mentioned the music. About 3 or 4 days ago, I was laying on the couch, family was in the kitchen doing stuff, and I was just listening to some music that I had my playlist that I don't know where it came from. Just kind of really get into it, just really trying to just take the moment to listen to music and lyrics. Lyrics, not just the music, but lyrics. That's the difference. Like, I don't know songs anymore. I don't know lyrics. I don't know. I just somehow in the last 10 years, all that's out of my head. I don't know where it went. I want to get back into that a little bit. I really want to. I want to find a popular song, memorize it, and then when I hear my kids and wife sing in the car, be able to come out and just sing it word for word with them. Just shock them. Have it be a shocking song that they would never expect me to know. I got to figure out what song that is. I don't know. That's my challenge.
Yeah, maybe I can make some suggestions.
Please. Yeah, something hip. Because Ellen listens to music, because the kids listen to music, and I don't listen to a whole lot of music. Let me rephrase. I don't listen to a lot of new music.
Yeah, it's just Michael Bolton all the time.
Wow. That or John Tesh.
All right.
Okay. You want to take us
this
out?
This has been fun. This has been really fun.
You're awake now.
I had such a good time. I hope you had a good time too, listener. Just hanging out with us. You Adam and me just chilling together, us living inside your ear holes and talking about, I don't know, whatever it is that we know or think we know or think you should know. We think that you should validate your business and you should get a life coach and you should wear pants when it's cold out and all of that stuff that you learned today. You're welcome. You're welcome. I know you're sitting there just like thinking how grateful you are for us and the wisdom we provide and the laughter and the companionship, because it feels like we're a friend, right? Sure. I feel like you are my friend.
Right.
And you are Adam's friend, and you tolerate both of us very well. Thank you for that. And if you're looking for a way to show your appreciation for this show, you could write us into your will. That is all.
Okay, sure. Yeah. And if you want to ask a question, you can do that. You can send questions in the questions at I can't even speak right now. Questions at getoptionspodcast.com, or use the SpeakPipe function of the website. Find us online, Twitter primarily, at get_options. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Silver. We're at SoundCloud for our music at get_options. Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.
Oh, try that one more time.
Goodbye, Kyle.